This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Panhandlers are an all too common sight in most large cities, including Cincinnati. And even though non-aggressive panhandling is legal here, it can be bothersome to visitors, residents, and workers. And giving a panhandler money is not the best way to truly help the suffering. Downtown Cincinnati Incorporated recently launched a program to make people more aware of local service agencies and how they better serve those in need. And joining us to talk about the panhandling education program and helping the homeless in the city are Cincinnati Police Captain Mike Neville, also David Ginsburg, President and CEO of Downtown Cincinnati Incorporated, and Kevin Flynn, President and CEO of Strategies to End Homelessness. Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
Kevin, you have a big smile on your face.
Kevin Finn. I am not Kevin Flynn.
I'm sorry.
I get a lot of that. It's quite all right.
No, that was just me being tongue-tied, Kevin, which isn't unusual. But, David, can you talk about why Downtown Cincinnati Incorporated saw a need for creating this campaign?
Sure. Glad to be here. Thank you for having us today. One of the major concerns that stakeholders downtown have, that they often tell us, is especially aggressive panhandlers make people sometimes feel a bit uneasy. It's a part of one of the reasons sometimes people don't feel as safe as we'd like for them to feel. So what we're trying to do with this is really two goods. Number one, reduce panhandling by slowing down the revenue to panhandlers, but also do more good for the people that happen to be out on the streets by helping to direct the funds to social services that help them in the long run.
And Captain, how widespread is panhandling in Cincinnati?
Panhandling as a sitting and holding a sign is quite prevalent. It's legal, and those are the ones that will be addressed by ambassadors to try to get them help. So, but the illegal panhandling is quite not as prevalent, but again, it is an issue downtown. It's something that we take on behalf of the stakeholders as an issue that we must continuously address.
What are some of the other elements of the program, David? It's a lot of education, a lot of
There really are three things that one can do in working with the panhandling issue. Number one is to educate folks that there are better ways to help people than give money to panhandlers. Giving to social services, et cetera, is one. Another way is social service outreach, and we have a social service outreach coordinator that's on the streets downtown. He connects with people, whether they're panhandling or homeless or have other problems, and he aggressively gets them connected with the proper social service, whether it's mental illness or substance abuse or other types of problems. The third thing that you can do is enforcement. And if someone is doing something illegal, if they continue to panhandle after you've said no, if they're too close to an ATM, if they're vocalizing after dark, then, of course, we work very closely with Captain Neville and the police. So those are the three primary approaches.
Hey, Kevin, what are your thoughts on this new program?
Well, I think the main thing that people need to realize is that most people, when they see a panhandler, believe that person to be homeless. And in the majority of cases, that isn't the case. So most homeless people have never panhandled. And in fact, most panhandlers are not homeless. So I think people very frequently think that when they are weighing whether or not they want to give money to a panhandler, the issue they are weighing in their minds is, do I want to help this homeless person? And I think what people need to realize is they are not necessarily helping someone who is homeless by giving to a panhandler. They would be helping homeless people if they instead made a donation to organizations like the Drop-In Center and Free Store and those sorts of organizations that do directly provide services to homeless people.
So the money's better spent that way?
Yes. Okay. I'm obviously biased. I'm concerned with people who are homeless. So, and it's a very basic calculation. If you give money to an organization that works with the homeless, you're helping the homeless. If you give money to a panhandler, they may or may not be homeless. And that's what I think people need to realize.
And they may or may not use it to really help themselves either. But you know this way that the money is going to go to have a positive impact.
That is true.
Lives.
I mean, nonprofits have to report out on how they use the money they take in, including donations. So with a nonprofit organization, you can very easily figure out how they use money to help people.
Captain, so panhandling is legal in Cincinnati. How is non-aggressive panhandling defined? And where do they cross the line and become aggressive panhandlers?
There's about eight criteria to become illegal. Panhandling, holding a sign, is legal, provided they're not in the right-of-way of somebody having to walk around them. this is America, is what it comes down to. First Amendment allows them to, that speech, that assembly, and we recognize that as not illegal. When you start asking people after 8 o'clock at night, near a bus stop, near a restaurant, ATM, where that threat really comes into play for the person who's being asked, then you get into the illegal perspectives of panhandling.
So it's not legal if somebody walks up and asks. Is that the key thing?
Recognizing the daytime hours, that is not.
David, as we've said, panhandling can be bothersome and it can be uncomfortable for visitors and residents and workers. So what is a good way to respond to a panhandler?
Best way is to simply, if you are not going to give money to a panhandler, to simply just directly say no thank you and walk on.
Okay. And other steps, can people contact agencies? Are there people you recommend contacting?
Should someone feel uncomfortable or think they've encountered someone who needs some assistance, they can contact our ambassadors, the DCI ambassadors. Okay. Our hotline number is 623-3429. Again, 623-3429, and we'll get an ambassador right to that location. If they feel for some reason that that's any more serious, they can certainly contact the police. If they feel that's an emergency situation, always feel free, I think, to use the 911 number. But typically, if they just call the ambassadors, that usually solves it.
Are the ambassadors going to try to help link them with some kind of a social program that might help them?
The ambassadors work closely with our social service outreach coordinator, and they'll assess the situation. So they'll confirm whether something illegal is being done or whether some other situation exists, whether someone really needs to get assistance. For example, sometimes people really do need assistance. They need something to eat, or they need to get on a bus to go somewhere. And our ambassadors will help to arrange that if there's a legitimate need. If there's a mental illness or substance abuse or someone's in distress, they'll be able to make a calculation as to whether they need to contact a social service agency or contact the police.
Captain, if someone calls the police department, as David has suggested, how do you handle it? Do your officers, do they too go out and assess the situation and, if need be, refer these people to a social service agency for help?
The answer is yes, with a follow-up yes to that. If somebody does call, we do, in fact, respond. It is a non-emergency number, and I will give that number, 765-1212, and we will be dispatched. And then when we do get there, if it's something where we can refer them or assist them into the ambassador program, that's what we do. The other thing we do is monitor, again, at nighttime if we see somebody doing it. At times there will be a citation of some kind if necessary, but most times we just try to work with them, and it's, if necessary, take it up to where somebody could end up being arrested.
Kevin, panhandling one of those issues where it's better to get people help as opposed to cracking down on them, as sometimes has occurred?
I think everybody who's out panhandling has some sort of need. Now, again, many panhandlers are not actually homeless. But, you know, from my experience locally, those people who are homeless and who are panhandling are very often what they actually are in need of is substance abuse treatment or mental health care. And the reason why they are on the street or the reason why they are panhandling is because, given that they have not managed to get appropriate substance abuse treatment services or perhaps mental health services, that is now the situation that they are in. So, you know, my thought would be it would be better if as a community we worked to help people get substance abuse treatment services that they need and mental health treatment that they need, rather than enabling them to continue in the position they're in. There are unfortunately not enough of those types of services available locally, which is a real problem that impacts people being on the street and people being out panhandling.
And Captain, how big is the problem of aggressive panhandling in Cincinnati?
And when you say how big of a problem, I think I have to kind of put it in perspective. If one person believes somebody holding a sign is a problem, they are entitled to see that as that's their view. Others who aren't intimidated, don't seem to think it's an issue to them, will see that exact same thing in a different perspective. So to meet you in the middle, how big of a problem is it? It's a quality of life issue. I don't want to say problem. It's an a type of lifestyle on some people's behalf that we have to be attentive to, knowing that handcuffs, et cetera, aren't always the answer. We just need to recognize it's a societal thing. And is it a big issue to the degree that many people see it? The answer is yes. Is it a big issue that cannot be handled or maintained? I don't believe that we've reached that pinnacle.
David, as far as this new program goes, when exactly did it start, and what are your plans for getting out the word about this?
We have a new pamphlet. We all have copies of it here today, and we're happy to get that out to everyone. It talks about what the definition of aggressive, legal, or illegal panhandling is, how to handle a panhandler, and make some suggestions of what some of the social services are to roll those out. So this is a brand new pamphlet that we put together. We've worked with Kevin and many of the other social services and the police, and many of our board members have been helpful in making sure that this is comprehensive. It's similar to an approach done by a number of other cities. And so what's happening now is we're rolling out this program really well in advance of the summer, when we're going to have lots and lots of people downtown. Of course, we have the Major League All-Star Game coming in this year. But it's really a reinforcement of an existing program that we've had. And again, I go back to trying to do as many good things as you can. One good thing is having fewer people asking for money on the streets. That does make some visitors to downtown uncomfortable. It's also doing it in a humanistic way that directs them to where they can get social services. And then, of course, the third thing, and you know, it's very limited in what we can do with it, is enforcement. The police have been very, very good about dealing with it, but you know, we have to remember, for enforcement to take place, someone has to be doing something illegal. There can be problems without it necessarily being illegal, and we try to do something about it. And then the second thing, you know, we have overcrowded jails. This takes up police officers' time. So the more that we can do to slow down panhandling while doing good for the folks that are in needs that are out on our streets, this is a win-win for everybody.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. And is that available online too, David?
Yes. You get this through our website, downtowncincinnati.com. You can call our office at 421-4440, and we're happy to get them out.
Kevin, do we have any idea how many homeless people are in Cincinnati?
Last year in Hamilton County, we, in terms of people on the street or sleeping in an emergency shelter, we had just under 7,100 people during the course of the year. Now, that's 7,100. 1,500 of those people were encountered on the street or sleeping in a place not meant for human habitation during the course of the year. So just under a quarter of the homeless population did spend time on the street last year. But the vast majority of homeless people are sleeping under roof in a shelter and not out on the street. If I might, you know, we've talked a lot about the panhandlers and the person so far. I'd like to speak to the money that people might be willing to donate for just a second.
So,
The way that the homeless services system is funded is there is significant government funding that goes into services that are provided by organizations like the Free Store and the Drop-In Center. But that money in each program gets paired with money the agency has to provide, in this case, money that is donated. Well, what we do is we coordinate all those programs, both the government funding and the private portion that goes in, and those organizations are all held accountable to outcomes. We are making sure that they are, in fact, helping people become formerly homeless people, that they are using all those dollars, the private donations and the federal money, to the benefit of homeless people. So when people give to one of the organizations, it goes into a system that is coordinated, that is outcomes driven.
That's accountable as well.
That is accountable, in short. So when you compare that with donations that are simply handed to someone on the street who may or may not be homeless, in terms of the person who gave the donation feeling like their money actually had an impact, they are opposite extremes.
Strategies to End Homeless, Kevin, is engaged in doing a count of the homeless during this last week of January, correct?
Yes.
What's involved in doing this kind of a count, and how's that information going to be used?
Well, the largest funder, again, is the federal government, and they put about $15 million a year into Cincinnati and Hamilton County. In exchange for that money, one of the things we are required to do is do a single night count of homeless people. It's always in the last week in January. So we did that this week. It's a count of people who are in our transitional housing programs, in our shelters, and also outdoors on the street. So the shelter staff are able to do the count of people who are indoors in a facility. But one night this week, myself and the outreach workers and volunteers literally went out on the street in the middle of the night to count how many people were out there.
Now, do you get their names while you're doing this count? Or?
We get some basic information from them so that we can make sure the same person doesn't get counted twice and that, you know, we didn't count a person on the street at 11 p.m. who later went into a shelter because they were cold and now they got counted in the shelter, and make sure we unduplicate them. But the federal government uses these numbers to sort of determine where the resources should be spread among the various jurisdictions.
Now, how does the cold weather affect doing this kind of a count?
Well, the federal government requires it to be in the last week in January for a very specific reason. They want the count to be accurate. If you do it in the middle of the winter, like January, people are more likely to go into a shelter where it is easy to count them. They also do it in the last week of the month because if people are receiving public assistance, in the first few days of the month, they might actually go into a motel or something like that temporarily. But by the end of the month, people tend to have exhausted those sorts of resources. So again, they're more likely to go into a shelter where they get counted.
Now, when's the final count going to come out?
It'll be out in a couple of weeks. We do a lot of double-checking with the shelters that their data is correct, and then we make sure we don't have anybody duplicate counted, and then we'll be releasing the numbers.
513-419-7100 to join our conversation. Let's talk with Carrie in Silverton. Good afternoon, Carrie. You're on Cincinnati Edition.
Hi. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I was wondering if any of the social service agencies had ever considered trying to assist the panhandlers that are at off-ramps on the highways, maybe taking a bus around to pick them up and then take them to their organizations or their facilities?
I would go back to my point about that the majority of people that are engaging in those kind of behaviors are not actually homeless.
The street
outreach workers, we have multiple street outreach programs, including the one that David mentioned before that is downtown, that go out and work with homeless people on the street. The issue is if the people aren't there at night because they're not homeless, then they aren't exactly the target of those programs. And I mentioned also we don't have enough substance abuse treatment services. Some of the other folks who are out there, that may be their primary issue.
Okay, so there isn't really a service targeted at them because that's not illegal, right, for them to stand at the off-ramps?
Captain?
It is not. As long as they're not interrupting the flow of traffic, that is not illegal. It's almost as if somebody was walking down the street and they wanted to cross that street. If they're stopped waiting to be able to get across the street, it's not illegal. So to stop on that curb line or up into the median on the side of the road, that too is not illegal.
Right. I just often thought it would be nice if there was a service that, I don't know, could help them out.
Could
and
help
take
those
them
folks,
somewhere.
Yeah.
And
well,
I realize, although a lot of their signs say homeless, you know, that doesn't mean they're telling the truth, but most of the signs I see say homeless when the people are standing there.
Well, there are certain things that the sign might frequently say, and those things are not always true, but those messages may be there because it increases the amount of money people receive. Veteran is another one. I've heard people with the Veterans Administration say that they were very frustrated that people would always call and say, this veteran is out there on the street panhandling, why don't you help him, when they had in fact verified that that person was not a veteran. But because the sign said they were a veteran, they perhaps received more money.
Carrie, thank you for the phone call. We appreciate it very much. Captain, have you ever seen an organized group of panhandlers in town? And if they were organized, would that be illegal?
I have never seen organized. I know they know each other, obviously. You know, some of them, from what I've seen in time, will even reside together and go out in tandem sometimes, take turns. But nothing that's organized of to that nature. If I could go back to the caller reference her question too, being near an exit ramp, it is illegal for somebody to make their way into the street to collect that currency or the handout if it in fact affects the flow of traffic. So it's not legal to keep going up and addressing these cars or holding a sign and then approaching the car. And really, it could be illegal to be given away from that car because if you interrupt the flow of traffic, that is illegal.
So as long as they're staying off the road and they're sitting or standing in one spot with a sign and they're not yelling out, hey, can you give me money or anything like that, they're fine.
That's correct. It goes back to our amendments that say right to assemble, right to speech, et cetera. But it does not give you a right to go out into traffic and interrupt the flow of traffic. That becomes a minor violation.
513-419-7100. To join our conversation, and let's talk with Elizabeth in Blue Ash. Good afternoon, Elizabeth. You're on Cincinnati Edition.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I just wanted to commend your guests on this program. This is the type of program that we need to address these social problems, or, like you said, not a problem necessarily, but just an issue, a concern that affects everyone in the city. And, I just really like the way that it's structured. You mentioned from a humanistic perspective, and I think a lot of times when we consider issues like panhandling, the concerns for the people who are panhandling are often neglected. I love the win-win idea, and I want to encourage City Council to follow in your footsteps and try to make solutions for the city that benefit everybody.
Thank you, Elizabeth. We appreciate the call. David, did you want to respond to that?
I do. Elizabeth, thank you for the call. We do appreciate the comment, and you really hit the key here. One of the things that I think has been most successful is our social service outreach, that we have somebody that's on the streets all the time and gets to know people, not just by a number or not because they're causing any problem, but they get to know the person. And as they do, they get to know what's the story. What is the illness? What is the problem? They get to know who the caseworkers are. What is the social service? And it helps us to work in a very close partnership with the justice system, with the police, with the social services, to develop very case-specific solutions for people, which, again, gets them off the streets, which is good, but it also gets them to some help. So your comment is very perceptive, and that's exactly what we're trying to accomplish with this program.
David, a couple of people tweeted and said, gave an example of when they offered food or help instead of cash, that sometimes the panhandler got irritated. But you're not saying that that's necessarily what people need to do. They contact the ambassadors, and then you take it from there. Is that correct?
We're a generous city, and people want to do good, and someone says, you know, I need money, I need food, I need something. And I've done this myself. If somebody says they want food, very often I'll say, okay, I'll take you to Subway, and you know, you just tell them what you want, and I'll pay for it. Very often what happens, though, is that that's not what somebody wants. They really would rather have the money. So it's much easier for people to either simply say no or contact an ambassador or just walk on. But you know, people respond to these in many different ways.
David, the idea is that instead of giving money to panhandlers, you're going to give it to a local service provider that can help people in need. And of course, we have Kevin's agency. What are some of the other agencies that that people are
sure
resources for?
Sure.
This?
There are many. On our brochure, we call out the Anna Louise Inn, the Center for Chemical Addictions Treatment, City Gospel Mission, Drop-In Center, Free Store Food Bank, and Strategies to End Homelessness, all of which are wonderful organizations that do wonderful things for folks.
And there are about 25 organizations in town that specifically work with the homeless, and a list of those organizations can be found on our website, which is strategiestoendhomelessness.org.
Cindy sent us a message that she puts together sandwich bags with a few nutrition bars and some change, and she hands them to panhandlers she encounters. Like you were saying, David, we're generous.
We're a generous city, and I think those kinds of initiatives are well-intentioned. Sometimes what happens, though, is that when folks do things like that, we either wind up with litter in an area that someone then has to come and clean up, or sometimes an area becomes a place where people know someone's going to come down and bring something. So while I think, you know, we would all commend the generous impulse to do that, I think, again, giving money to the many social services that we have that do sustainable good for people would probably be our preference. But we certainly appreciate Cindy's intent.
So you're hoping that this idea takes off then?
Right. This gives people a good option. This is really an educational program. It gives people a good option for what to do with their generous desire to help people. It's the way to do the most good in many ways. It does good for downtown because if people feel more comfortable downtown, We'll have more businesses, more residents, more economic development, more tax revenues, better for everybody. And if we can find ways to take people that are on our streets, and there's nobody that's on our streets because things went well in their lives. We recognize these are all human beings and they have needs. And if we can play some kind of a role in connecting them with where those needs can be met effectively, it's a win for everybody.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us this afternoon. Cincinnati Police Captain Mike Neville, David Ginsberg, President and CEO of Downtown Cincinnati Incorporated, and Kevin Finn, President and CEO of Strategies to End Homelessness. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. The producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier. The technical director was Kevin Rawinski. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Science Friday coming up next on 91.7 WVXU.